Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
So we'll go through a litany of fun people to talk with today, which I think will be a blast for us, all right? So I'm looking forward to that very, very much. Russ Rose announcing his retirement today, 43 years. For me, this one hits home only because, for Russ, our careers paralleled each other. He started as the head coach at Penn State of women's volleyball when I arrived in the University Park campus. So, yeah, it definitely parallels our careers. And that is that's why this one hits home and hits harder than others along the way. And sit there and go, hey, yay, 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 yay. So let's get into that a little bit with Brian Tripp, who's covered Penn State volleyball for many years, among other things. Brian, great to have you with us.
Pleasure. Oh, you have me cracking up. You couldn't be more right on the Kurt Gowdy thing, by the way, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yes. That's why I always tell everybody. Bowl 2 weeks and championship week. College basketball. Unfortunately, showcase still like a depth. Suck. All right. Oh. 1,330 wins, hundreds and hundreds of graduates, all Americans, Olympic gold medalists, Olympians, 43 years. Russ Rose today retires. As I said, like, essentially, he and I, my junior year was his first year as the head coach. So wow. It's like we've been here the same time frame. All right. What was your thought when you saw this become official?
Well, I'm happy for him because he's had a legendary career and no one's deserved it more. And no one's done as much, not only for this sport, but for student athletes, I think is what Russ has done during his career. It's just, I'm thrilled for him. I'm sad for Penn State fans and for the volleyball community that you don't get to see him sit there and flip his pen and write in his notebook anymore. But I'm glad you started with that because I thought we'd be remiss if we didn't mention it first. And he's just had such an impact on so many people. And what the sport, if you look what their team has done through the years, their accomplishments, I think elevating not only the level of play in the Big Ten, but the facilities. Volleyball rates so well on the Big Ten network that they've carved out a Wednesday and Friday night and Sunday afternoon time slots for the sport on Big Ten Network and ESPN. And all of that, a lot of that credit has to go to Russ Rose and his programs at Penn State elevating the league.
No question.
It's not just having an incredible amount of success on the court and probably records. I mean, 111 straight sets sets. That's oh, I'm never going to do that again.
I remember like it was yesterday. Look, to me, I don't care whether it's two of us sitting at a table or him coming over to me after a practice or after a match or whatever. Those times or in his office.
Yep.
Right? Sitting down in his office and just talking.
Mm-hmm.
Are some of the more enjoyable times I've ever had here at Penn State because it's just frank, direct, no filter conversation.
I think the world of this guy. He's unbelievable, and he's so knowledgeable. And he could coach, Steve. He could coach football, ice hockey, basketball, volleyball, and he'd be successful at whatever it is.
No question.
Just the type of person and coach and leader he is, and he's so he's an avid reader. He is so knowledgeable about the entire sports landscape, really anything, any topic across the world. He'll have an opinion on it and share it with you, I'm sure. But it's just so enjoyable to converse with him and get his thoughts because you know it comes from such an honest place. But also a very well-educated place on whatever that topic may be. And he's so loyal. He just has so many qualities that he's impacted people with, but he's also shared those qualities with and has helped shape people over the years, whether it's a player, look at his coaching tree, but even just the administrators, staff, anyone he's worked with or touched and teaching a class for a long time, he's taught a class his entire career at Penn State.
Yep.
As I had it as a student, it's one of the best classes I had. Right up there with sports broadcasting.
Ooh, what clown taught that? he is one of those individuals, and I felt this way about, when I talked to Joe, when I talked to James, when I talked to Russ, when I talked to Kale, right? When the conversation is over, I feel better informed.
Yep.
Right. I feel like I've got a better depth of opinion, and elements maybe either I had thought of and has happened to be confirmed, or maybe I hadn't thought of when I talk to people like that because they're the best at what they do, and they have an ability to think of things that maybe a lot of people have not thought about. And that's, I say that about James. I say that about Kale. Joe was a fountain of that. Russ, has always been a fountain of that.
And I think the one thing, and it's along those same lines, is no matter what the situation is, there are always two or three steps ahead. Okay, if this happens, how do I handle it and already have a plan in place as to how to handle what A, B, C, D, E, whatever door opens, they're already prepared for whatever situation may occur. And no one would outwork Russ Rose.
No.
5 a.m. wake-up call and box scores from every match across the country, film, video, his preparation. And even down to the last year here in 2021, it's still a lot of handwritten notes and printed out papers. It's not all on an iPad or a computer. And he'd carry a big notebook around. But no one would outwork Russ Rose. And I think that's something he instilled in the players. And you look, whether it's the long preseason camps or how they prepare for matches through film or through hard work and practice, you always knew you were going to get a team that was mentally tough, mentally and physically prepared, and that was never going to quit. Being at some practices over the years, working with them, the drills they did, he instilled in them, you never quit and you battle, and that is a big reason why. They've had great players, but it's that mentality that's made them really successful.
He's had, everybody, it's the word culture.
Yeah.
But, for 43 years, it's been, guess what? And I remember when we did a feature on Russ for the football TV show. And I had to interview, 8 different former players from different eras. And I'm talking about great players, All-Americans, Olympians, the whole deal, right? Gold medalists, right? Yeah. Were they coached? Were they coached hard? Yep. Did they appreciate the man more than ever? Absolutely. That tells you everything.
Yep. When Micah Hancock and Haley Washington were back this fall after winning gold with Team USA this summer,
yep.
We did a short sit-down with them, and I talked to them. And one of the questions, obviously, is how do you describe or how would you describe your relationship with Coach Rose? And they said, you know, he's tough, that you have to earn his respect. But once you go through it, you understand that everything he puts you through comes from the right place because he knows how to get people to achieve their maximum and reach their maximum potential. And they said he's the man. There's no other way to describe him than being the man or the GOAT. And he truly is. That's a word that gets thrown around.
He really is. Yes. 1,330 wins, 7 national titles, a boatload of Big Ten titles, Atlantic Ten titles. Yeah. That's when you can legitimately say it.
Yeah, like we said in the beginning, though, it's what he's done for the sport, elevating the sport, the culture, what he's done for the university. But it, besides the wins, it's what he's done for the sport that I think really stands out to me.
Oh, absolutely. No, he's taken a sport that was always fighting for some level of recognition and then turned it into, holy mackerel, now when you watch the Final Four take place, it's mm-hmm. must viewing.
Because and why are there teams like a Pitt, Wisconsin, Nebraska, obviously has had a great program for a long time, but why are they there? A lot of that's because of what Penn State was able to build in the late 90s, early 2000s, and obviously that great run with the 4 straight title.
What's interesting, I'm glad you brought that up, because I've always said the Big Ten elevated everybody across the board. Like, and made them really take mm-hmm. football far more seriously than they were when Penn State came in and went, we better do something here. Now notice, like, suddenly Northwestern has some good runs. Wisconsin has some good runs. You know, you can go through the long list of them. Russ Rose did the same thing for the Big Ten in women's volleyball. They got in there and everybody said, oh, my goodness, we better up our game. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, and it took them a long time to really get to the same level. But all of them felt like the Big Ten is the toughest conference in the country because he set the tone for the whole thing and made them get it to that level. If they weren't, they were going to get buried.
Yep. And it's not just in terms of on court. If you go to Nebraska, they have a 10,000-seat facility. If you go to Purdue, they've got a new gym. All these places have new facilities because that's all part of the arms race to try to catch up to a Penn State. So it's worked in so many different ways to benefit student-athletes, not just at Penn State, but across the whole conference. Right. Components.
Brian, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Brian Tripp joining us. A lot more to come today, including our picks. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by good friends at Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
CBS.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And since we won't be on tomorrow, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Stock up now. Get your gift cards. That last second shopping. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. All right, let's shift gears after that great conversation with Brian about Russ Rose. Very quickly, let me just say this. One of the important elements of this job that has allowed me to form opinions over the years is the ability to listen to people in the know. So I don't care whether I've had a chance to do an interview with Michael Jordan, which I have, or Dean Smith, which I have, or George Steinbrenner. You can go through the long list: Bear Bryant, Bobby Bowden, even private conversations. I had a long private conversation once with Bobby Bowden. That was invaluable. It wasn't a formal interview. It was just, you know, two guys sitting in the lobby chatting for like 30 minutes. All right? But it's been those times where I've had a chance either in personal conversation or in an interview, but mostly in personal conversation. The privilege of sitting there and talking and listening to Cale Sanderson. The privilege of sitting there and talking and listening to James Franklin. The opportunity, all those opportunities in my life that I had to sit there, talk with, and listen to Joseph Vincent Paterno. And the opportunity for me to sit there and talk to and talk with and listen to a Russ Rose. To give me perspective from people who are at the top of their profession about why things are the way they are and why they aren't. That's what it's allowed me to shape opinions that I express on this show, because I've had the privilege and the luxury of having long, extensive conversations where I've done a lot of the listening. I've done the asking of questions. I've thrown out my opinion too. And to hear the opinion confirmed by people that are at the top. I've been so fortunate, and Russ is one of those guys where, I mean, where the conversation is fun, but also direct, frank, in depth. I've been so fortunate I've had a chance, especially in the private part of the conversation, to listen. What a difference it makes. All right. So let's get into some football now. Reginald Walker, our mystic from the South, now joins us. Walker! Let's take you back to your career. Say things really worked out great here and you had a fabulous career where you were, you know, a 3,500-yard, 4,000-yard guy, whatever it may be, and a bowl game came up and it wasn't a college football playoff game. Would you have opted out?
Personally, I think with what I know now, I probably would.
Yeah.
What I knew then, no. And the reason why I say that is because back then, all you knew was to either to play and get the insurance policy in the process, right? The first one we really kind of saw
right.
or heard about was Willis McGahee in 01 or 02 after he tore his knee up against Ohio State.
Yes, yep.
That was kind of the first one that we that was public. Now, us as players, sort of on the inside of it, we knew of those things going on and how those policies kind of work based on draft projections and those types of things and position information. But all we knew was play and get the insurance policy.
Yeah, yeah right.
And you're fine.
Right, because the insurance policy thing probably predated you by about 20 years.
Yep.
It probably predated you by 20 years. So now let's go. Let's take this one step further. A year ago on this show, I, you know, and this is months before they brought it out, I said maybe I ought to go to a 12-team playoff. Now I think maybe I ought to go to a 16-team playoff, and here's my reasoning behind that. Two reasons: one, nobody's going to opt out, and number two, you need to keep yourself academically eligible.
Right, right. That's a great point because you mentioned the academically eligible thing. The guy that kind of changed that around, if you go all the way back right into the late 80s, early 90s, people forget, Deion Sanders took all incompletes and played in Florida State's bowl game.
Yep.
That was his way around it.
Yep.
And so there's, you're absolutely right, the eligibility piece, especially with APRs and how that works now as well, would certainly be a factor, not only for the kids, but also for the coaches in those programs, saying, hey, we got to watch our APR score, because there's a lot of things tied to that, not necessarily forgetting the fact that if you're a 6-6 football team or a you know, you lose a game somehow in the year and you're a 5-6 football team, if your APR is near the top, you're bowl eligible, means coaches get bonuses, you get another opportunity, 15 more practices with your players, all of those types of things, and it probably will save some jobs as well.
Yeah, because I'm looking at it as, number one, that no player has ever opted out of a playoff game. Right, so that's one. Number two, to play in the playoff game, you have to be academically eligible to do it. In other words, you just can't sit there and go, hey, look, you know, I blew off classes the last, you know, 6 weeks, whatever, because, look, I'm going to the draft, blah, 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 blah. You know, you and I have heard all that song and dance forever. Well, now you're looking around, you got your teammates looking at you and say, what do you mean you're not eligible? What's wrong with you?
Right.
That's why. Now, how many teams do you think should be in it?
I think they can do eight, and I think they can do eight easily. What you do, and this gives you the wiggle room, right? I think, obviously, the championship weekend stays where it is, right?
Yep.
So let's just say, for the sake of argument, December 4th, right, this year. And then 2 weeks later, you play the first round of the playoffs at top four seed home sites. December 18th-ish,
yeah.
Right? So you've given that Heisman week, all the awards, all that stuff, that time is off. And then the players are essentially home for Christmas, right? If they want to go home for a couple days, and then they're back, they go to the semifinals, neutral site, New Year's Eve time frame-ish. And then on New Year's, I prefer New Year's Day personally, but that's just me.
Right.
And then you play the national championship 1 week later on January 8th. I don't think you keep moving it to the 15th at all. And I think if you do that, you're allowing those bye weeks to make sure everybody's as healthy as possible. And then I think you can finagle some things on the front end of the schedule. I think if you stay at 12 games, I think you start the season a week earlier to allow for a second bye, just in case. Or you eliminate one non-conference game so we stop getting some of these games that don't matter to us. And you tell everybody, you obviously you need to play one sort of like-minded opponent, right? So if you're a Big Ten team, you need to play an SEC team or a Big 12 team or something to that effect. And then if you want to play a bye game, you can play a bye game. And now, with the nine games left, you can play a conference slate.
I think you make an interesting point, several interesting points there. But one of them is that I like is that if you want to build the playoff, okay, I like the idea of a second bye week for everybody. So it's, yeah, sure, it's a little more spread out, but I think it's important to give players, student athletes, that extra week somewhere in the schedule.
Yeah, and what it does is it basically allows every coach or every athletic director, whoever's handling those schedules, and the conference to give you one kind of early and give you one kind of late.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, you can play one after week, get one after week four or your fourth game, and get one after your seventh game or eighth game,
right,
and then you finish out the regular season somewhere in that range.
Right, that's a good point. All right, so let's get to some of these games. Georgia. So I want to ask you about Stetson Bennett. Hey, it's interesting. I just talked about Keaton Slovis moments ago. And Slovis got his chance to play because JT Daniels got hurt. Okay, so Slovis plays, does well. Daniels looks around, says, oh, he's the victim, Pac-12 freshman of the year. I'm going to transfer out. He goes to Georgia. Then he gets hurt there. Stetson Bennett takes over. Blah, blah, blah. We know how it turned out. Then Daniels, of course, did a good job against Cincinnati in the Sugar Bowl last year. Is Bennett good enough? I mean, he's good enough for them to beat Tennessee, and he's good enough for them to beat Florida, but is he good enough on this stage?
I know they love his feet, and there's nothing wrong with that. He can run the football better, obviously, than JT Daniels. But the issue this team had early in the season, when you look at JT Daniels before he got hurt and then obviously right after, was a lot of the pass catchers were hurt. Now those guys are back. You got Pickens back. The tight ends are healthy. Now you need a guy that can spread it around and use all those weapons and force your defense to give away kind of what they're doing and allow him then to pick apart those teams. I don't think Stetson Bennett is as good at that. They obviously value Stetson Bennett's legs, but let's call it what it is. The teams that have beat, right, Michigan, which is Michigan State, they don't have a quote-unquote mobile quarterback. They have a guy guy who can read the defense, make the right throws, and work off of play action, which is where Georgia's at their best. Cook at that running back spot, Zamir White, who I saw play in high school, mm-hmm. that guy's unbelievable.
Yep.
But Cook as well, people forget, Cook, that James Cook is the brother of Dalvin Cook.
Right.
So we know the pedigree of that family. That kid's a nightmare as well. I think you use those two running backs with JT Daniels to set up play action and allow him to take shots down the field, and you got a chance to win a national championship. You don't, then you're relying on Stetson Bennett to run around and make plays improvising. I just don't think that's the right formula against the Michigan defensive front that can chase him down just as well as they can get to JT Daniels in the backfield. But Daniels does a better job recognizing different blitz packages and getting the football out.
Yeah, you know what struck me about Georgia when they played Alabama, and I want to see if you thought the same thing. Yeah, you know, I've watched Georgia play some games, including the Arkansas game, obviously. Against Alabama, they look slow.
They did. They didn't look like the faster, more athletic team.
No.
They also looked a little bit intimidated. They looked like they didn't expect to win the game. It's almost like they had heard about Alabama all year, and then I always use this analogy. Then it goes back to like the national championship game where Alabama played Notre Dame. And remember, Notre Dame's locker room was closer to the field. They were supposed to walk out first. And Nick Saban jumped the gun on purpose, and they walked by Notre Dame in the tunnel. And it's like Notre Dame had seen Alabama on tape and said, yeah, they're pretty fast. And then they walked past them and realized they were big and fast, and they went, whoa, that's not what we expected. It's almost like Georgia saw kind of the same thing, and in the second quarter, it just overwhelmed them, and that game was over.
And the guy that struck me was Davis, the big kid in the middle. Was he 360 pounds?
Yeah, big Jordan Davis.
Yeah, and everybody's talked about him. Then I'm watching him in this game, and he's standing up, not moving. I'm thinking, that's not good. It's not good football.
No, I mean, his leverage was bad. The Alabama offensive line that we talk about all the time, and Steve, you know this, that the hardest thing to find now in recruiting
trenches.
Is people moving offensive linemen.
Yep.
Right, Alabama continues to find the four or five people movers in every recruiting class. That's what they have, and 360, 340, 380, it doesn't matter. They are able to move those guys off of the spot
yep.
and run the football, which sets up that passing game. I think it's going to be interesting, though, to watch them against Cincinnati because these are two teams that will spread it out and throw it around. I think this will be a more, quote-unquote, exciting game of the two. Don't know what the score is going to look like. It may be one-sided, but you're going to see two teams open it up. Versus the Georgia-Michigan game, I think you're going to see that game played in a phone booth. And that one's going to be – it's a good thing that one's the second semifinal because your New Year's Eve plans are safe because that game's going to be about 2.5 hours.
Yeah, that's exactly right. In fact, you may have overestimated. What I find interesting is you do things out of necessity. So why did Mouse Davis go to the run and shoot? Didn't have any tight ends. Right, so he went to the run and shoot. Okay, really, wow, this is novel. He looked around and says, I did it out of necessity. I've always felt that the spread came into being because I've always felt that back then when they put it in, coaches were trying to work around their offensive line. And I think that's been the MO since.
Well, yeah, if you go back to the Mike Leach days at Texas Tech, that's the best example, and the reason why I say that is go back and look at the tape and look how wide those offensive linemen splits were.
You're
that
right.
was to force the defensive ends further out so they couldn't get to the quarterback as quickly. That's what that was about. That's what you see a lot of spread teams do. They stretch out the offensive line horizontally, and they make you have to come further to get to the quarterback, and then you add in things like bootlegs and waggles and sprint outs and rollouts, it makes it harder for defensive linemen to figure out where the quarterback's going to be.
Happy holidays, my good friend. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Steve. Always a pleasure. Happy holidays, and take care of yourself. Take care, everybody, and I love State College. I will leave it there.
Waka. I heard that a few times in the practice. Waka.
Hell yeah.
You're the best. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care. Happy holidays.
Reginald Walker.
Today's show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. And also by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. Rutgers is going to go to the Gator Bowl. At first, Rutgers was like, eh, I don't know if we ought to do this. But then they started to get a line. Northern Illinois said they'd play, and they were game ready. Marshall said they'd play, they were game ready. And Brett Bielema openly campaigned for Illinois. And by the way, Shad Khan, the owner of the Jacksonville Jaguars, is an Illinois grad. Well, Rutgers looked around and said, hold on a second. When you're a 5-7 team, there is a criterion that separates you from everybody else. And that criterion is APR, your academic score. Illinois has a 970 APR. Rutgers is 979. Rutgers gets the call. So Rutgers has been in the process. It's been an off week for the coaches. All right, so there's no recruiting. It's a dead period right now. All right, so they're not out recruiting. I've heard people say, well, they're out recruiting. You got to bring it back. They're not out anywhere recruiting. You're not allowed to go out and recruit. Okay, now if you want to, So most of them have been around New Jersey anyway. So getting the coaching staff back, not a big deal, unless they were traveling to see family for the holidays. So you got to, make sure they're back. You got to get your players back. And you got a week to get ready. But they want to give it a shot. They're going to go down there. So Rutgers will play Wake Forest in the Gator Bowl a week from tomorrow. And that's how that's going to roll. So Rutgers is in. Very, very interesting. Very interesting. You're also seeing something else. I don't think it's amazing. Nobody talks about this stuff. But I always sit back and go, I don't understand why people don't talk about such things. Have you noticed that, yes, there are individuals going into COVID health and safety protocols? Everybody notices that. That's across the bottom all the time, including coaches. Robert Saleh, Nick Sirianni, okay? But you're also getting players now coming out of it. Obi Toppin for the Knicks, now back. Barrett, now back. Okay? It looks like Baker Mayfield might be on the verge of getting back. Yeah, players go in, but players also come out. For one thing, the players either aren't sick in terms of like feeling ill, right? And it turned out they tested positive because of contact tracing. Right. They just have to get the negative test and they can move forward. Taylor Heinicke, for example. Taylor Heinicke is now out of protocol, he's going to play this weekend. So it goes both ways. You are now getting some players back in both the NBA and in the NFL. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.